I want to welcome you to our fifth Sunday Sing today. And in this special worship service, we invite you to worship our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, in spirit and in truth. I want to begin our worship today with a brief look at one of the Psalms. The book of Psalms, for those of you who don't know, is divided into five sections. There are five books in the one book of Psalms. The fourth book starts with Psalm 90 and goes through Psalm 106. And this whole section is prayers and praises to God. And there are several psalms that really are calls to worship. They are. They starts with Psalm 93 and goes all the way through Psalm 99, several of these that are just calling the congregation of God's people to worship. And I want to look at Psalm 95 today. This psalm, as I said, is about worship. There's nothing more important in the Christian life than worship. God has created us to be worshiping creatures, and Christ has redeemed us to be a worshiping people. Jesus said in John chapter 4, "But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." There's nothing more important that we do than to worship the Lord our God. Ligon Duncan gives a very helpful outline to Psalm 95 in four words: come for worship today. Really simple outline. Come for worship today. Come, in verses 1 and 2, it gives us a call to worship. Come for. In the verses 3 through 5, he gives us some reasons why we are to worship God. Come for worship, in verses 6 and 7, gives us what we are to do when we come to worship. Come to worship today. Finally, in the last part of the psalm, second half of it, it gives us a warning about neglecting worship through unbelief. So keeping those words in mind, let's listen to God's word today and let his word teach us about worship. Psalm 95. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Just briefly today, as we look at this psalm, as I said, the first half of this psalm is framed by two calls to worship. You'll see it in verse 1. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. And then in verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Come there in both of those verses is a command. It's an imperative. It is it's saying that this is what we should do, what we must do before the Lord. Come, in verse 1, is literally to walk or to carry yourself. So in other words, it is coming. It's bringing yourself to worship, all right? And in verse 6, it's a different word. It's a word that means to enter in, to come in. And so both are of those are in the plural. In other words, it's addressed to all of us as a congregation. And so literally what he's saying is, stop what you're doing, leave what you're doing behind, and come in to worship in the presence of God. This is a call for us to come together as the people of God, to bring ourselves to enter into the very presence of God. Look at verse 2. Come, let us come before His, what? His presence. Come, in this verse, means to meet with God. Praise Him. Thank Him. Fellowship with Him. Commune with Him. Stop what you're doing. Leave it behind. Come. How do we come? Well, the verse says, "Oh, come, let us sing for joy, sing to the Lord." There, and as I love that, what we do on these fifth Sunday sings is we pick out different songs, and people get to sing that which is on their heart. And it says, "Come, let us sing to the Lord." And listen, there is no room in this verse for apathetically mumbling a few songs in your mind with your mind elsewhere. It calls you to sing out loud to the Lord. In fact, the next verse says, let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. In this psalm, which refers to Israel in the wilderness, the second part of it, verses 7 through 11, the rock literally saved the nation. It was the rock that Moses struck and gave water to the people when they were thirsty. And the rock flowed with water. You can read about that in Exodus chapter 17. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 that rock was Christ. In other words, this is a gospel call. When we are called to shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation, this is a call to believe in Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation, to come to Christ for salvation, to come to Him for the forgiveness of sins, to come to Him and believe on Him as Lord and Savior. If Christ is the rock of your salvation, who has given you living water for your soul, shouldn't you come together? Shouldn't we come together as God's people with joy? As it says, shout joyfully. Shouldn't we come together with thanksgiving? As it says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Then in verses 3 through 5, we see why we ought to come for worship. It's the word for. Word for there means because. It gives a reason why we are to worship. So in verse 3 it says, for, why should we worship? For the Lord is a great God and the great King above all gods. Why should we come to worship? God is sovereign. His majesty is over all. He is greater than any claimed God, any false God, anything else in this world. Verses 4 and 5 say, in His hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the hills are also His. The sea is His. He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. In other words, God is not only the sovereign God in charge of all things, but He is the Creator God. He created all things, and He rules the world. But even more importantly, verse 6 says this, let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Did you see that? He not only made the world, He made you. He made me. And Psalm 95, verse 7 says, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. God cares for us as a shepherd cares for His sheep. So He not only made us, but He cares for us. This is why we worship. Why should I worship God? because He is sovereign over all, because He made the whole universe, because He made me, and because He cares for me. That's some good reasons to praise the Lord, isn't it? To worship Him. Come, our invitation to worship. For our reason for worship. Worship. What are we to do when we come to worship? Verse 6, you see three similar verbs that tell us how we are to come and worship. Look at what it says. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Those three words. Come, it says, come is the imperative, as I said there. But the other three words, worship, bow down, and kneel, describe how we are to come. How we are to enter into the presence of God. And how do we do that? With these words, worship. The word worship means to fall flat before God. It's a word that means to prostrate yourself before God. Bow down means literally to bow low or to crouch down before God. And kneel means to get on your knees and give a blessing to God. You see, all three of those are very similar, aren't they? They picture worship as someone who humbles themselves before the mighty God by making themselves low because God is so great. Point is that our God is so mighty, so awesome, that we need to acknowledge that by joyfully, thankfully, humbly bowing down before Him. Worship, bow down, kneel with joy before your mighty Maker, Creator, Shepherd. And finally, we worship. We are called to come for worship today. Today. You see this at the end of verse 7. He says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. So far, as we get up to the middle of verse 7, this has been a very uplifting psalm. It's been encouraging for us to come in humble worship to the great and mighty God, to come joyfully, to come with songs. And then suddenly the mood changes. Right there in the middle of verse 7. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. This again is a command. Do not harden your hearts. What's going on here? Well, the psalmist here in this last half of this chapter is referring to Israel's experience in the wilderness when they tested the Lord in Exodus chapter 17 at the waters of Meribah. In fact, in verse 8, where you see the word rebellion, that word is Meribah. It's what they named the place where they rebelled against God. At Meribah, they rebelled. At the place of rebellion, they rebelled. And then it also refers to Moses' own unfaithfulness in Numbers chapter 20 at a place called Massah. You'll see that in verse 8 as the word trial. The word trial is the Hebrew word Massah. It's also what they named the place where Moses struck the rock when God told him simply to speak to it. He wasn't supposed to do that, and he disobeyed the Lord. God's people, in both of these instances, were not joyfully singing to Him, or thanking Him, or worshiping Him. In fact, they were doing just the opposite. They were grumbling, they were unthankful, they were complaining, they were quarreling. And you remember what happened as a result of their unbelief? Neither that generation of the children of Israel, the ones from Meribah, nor Moses, who disobeyed at Massah, neither of them entered into the promised land. God said here in this psalm, so I swore in my wrath, they shall never enter my rest. And the psalmist is teaching us the danger of unbelief. Now, the New Testament book of Hebrews cites this whole section, this whole second half of Psalm 95 in Hebrews chapter 3. And then he quotes again verse 11 and verse 7 in chapter 4. Derek Kidner comments on this, and he says that the New Testament forbids us to confine the truth of this psalm just to Israel. He says the today of which it speaks is this very moment. The you is none other than ourselves. The promised rest is not just Canaan, but salvation through Jesus Christ. The message is this. You cannot worship God with an unbelieving heart. You cannot worship God if you do not take Him at His word. That's why he says in verse 7, as he says there, today if you will hear His voice, if you'll hear His voice, you cannot worship God if you do not take Him at His word. You cannot worship God if you do not believe on Christ, the rock of our salvation, as He is offered to us in the gospel. True worship is by faith, and unbelief is inconsistent with worship. Listen, you cannot live between Sundays unbelieving God's word, untrusting in Jesus Christ, unresponsive to the gospel of grace, and then come in and somehow manufacture worship in your heart. Because it won't be there. It cannot happen. Worship must be by the Spirit, by grace, by faith in Jesus Christ, by believing in God's word, by submitting ourselves to Him, and by following Christ as Lord. This is all a part of true worship. And so how do we come? We come humbly, joyfully, singing to the Lord with thanksgiving for what Christ has done for us in providing salvation for us. He is the rock of our salvation. Come for worship today. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would allow us by faith in Jesus Christ to come into your presence because you are a great and mighty God, for worship, humbling ourselves before you and doing it believing in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.